Thanks again, Ross. Well, I got an email here from Jim. He didn't say where he is, but he said, boom, UARS is down. Broke apart just south of Calgary, Canada, about 3 hours ago. I don't see anything on it so far on any of the usual news sources, but that's what I love about Coast to Coast listeners, because they're on it. And here's something else. Thank you very much for all the response on the caravantomidnight.com website that I just made mention of an hour ago. Here's an email from, I won't tell you who it is, but anyway, this is what he says. You can view RadNet Laboratories to protect his privacy. You can view RadNet Laboratory data, milk, precipitation, air filter, etc. on EnviroFacts website. This was the website to inform citizens of radiation levels, and it worked, kind of, sort of. But after a noticeable spike around July 28th, the site no longer supplies any data after April 29th, 2011. In other words, they have removed the data that was there. He says he's emailed his complaints to the EPA, and they simply send back this link, which is the one that does not provide data after 29 April 2011. But his email to me had a CC to somebody, US EPA, who I think is the person responsible in our government to hide the facts, a CC to Angela Shogren /DC/US EPA/US@EPA, so whatever, you know. That's from Maryland. She thinks this is the person responsible in our government to hide the facts. Anyway, so that's what I was saying a while ago. The reason that I put this little site together is because we can't do much. These things are in short supply, these radiation detectors. But I got to tell you, they're very quickly. The site will be up at the end of the weekend. You can email me at johnb@coasttocoastam.com, or you can send one to info@caravantomidnight.com. Got two models of it. One's a single tube, one's a double tube. Picks up X-ray, gamma, and beta. Test everything. Carry it with you. Go to the grocery store with it, the farmer's market, the watering hole, the stock tank, building materials, whatever, and it'll at least show you what you're looking at, because what you know won't hurt you. It's what you don't know that'll hurt you, right? All right, now, I want to get back to your calls at once, so let's talk to Bruce in L.A., who has been holding for a long time, and say, you taking care of my town while I'm gone?
Thank you for taking my call. Good morning.
Sorry to make you wait so long. Good morning.
Yes. I just had a few things that you may be aware of, but I doubt very much if very many of the listeners are. The Supreme Court's ruled in three major cases over the years that there's two countries here. There's Washington, D.C., and the territories known as the United States. The 50 states are known as the United States of America. So the feds, in essence, if you know how to get around it and you know the laws and all that, the feds have no jurisdiction in the 50 states, only in Washington, D.C. and the territories.
Mm-hmm.
There was a doctor on the Coast to Coast a few nights. Well, he's been on twice recently in the last two or three weeks, Leonard Caldwell. And before he signed off the other night, he mentioned that as well. They're getting ready to sue the FDA. And he mentioned that over the air, that they have no jurisdiction outside of Washington, D.C., which is correct. That's true.
You know, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on in this country that we're unaware of. I mean, the differences between having a gold fringe, if you walk into a courtroom where there is gold fringe mm-hmm. on the flag, that's different than if there's no gold fringe on the flag. It's something about the admiralty. You're under a different jurisdiction. There's a presumption of guilt,
mm-hmm.
and you have to prove innocence rather than the converse.
That's right.
And
did you ever hear of a court called the United States of America Court? They're always called U.S. courts,
mm-hmm.
U.S. District Court, U.S.
That's
this,
right.
U.S. that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's the reason.
Let me ask you something. You sound like a man who's looked into this.
Yeah. I have for many years.
If you could just wave the magic wand, you sprinkle the magic dust on or whatever, just in simplest terms, what would you address first as far as putting the citizens of the United States into an understanding of exactly what kind of society we're living in now? What do you think is the most important thing that most people don't know?
Well, they don't know that we have no government. We're owned and controlled by the Federal Reserve, which is private, has nothing to do with America. And the IRS, Ronald Reagan told the world in 1986 that not one nickel of what they collect goes to help anyone in this country. It all goes to the owners of the Federal Reserve System.
So the Federal Reserve System is basically private banking.
That's right. But they give the orders. They've elected every president we've had since Woodrow Wilson, and they've caused every war we've been involved in, and they control whatever news media they want to. They put the word out. You know, that's why you don't hear much on the air about UFOs.
Understood.
Even though it goes on all the time all over the world. The sightings.
Okay.
Also, there's two, Wednesday night I saw two films. They're documentaries. Maybe you've seen at least one of them, but one of them, Inside Job, won the Academy Award last year. And Inside Job, and the other one was called Casino Jack and the U.S. or the United States of Money. That's about
perfect.
That's about Jack Abramoff, or whatever his name is. both of them. If you see those two films, you will really want to do something to make the correction, if you can. We have to get rid of the Federal Reserve if we're ever to be free.
Do you think that's even possible?
Well, the spiritual changes are supposed to start before too long. And once that happens, that'll be the end of them. But I don't know when it's gonna happen. I've just been to a lot of sessions the last two or three years, and things I've heard and seen and what have you. There's been a lot of great beings working on this change for the last since 9/11, actually.
Well, we're going to need them, because I'm telling you, we're floundering down here, and we're complaining and we're protesting, and if necessary, we'll get irritable enough to rebel at some point, but it's sure not happening now, is it?
Not yet. The Federal Reserve, by the way, 52% is owned by the Rothschild family and the Queen of England. Then there's four entities in New York with 6% each, and three families in Europe with 8% each.
How do you know these things?
Well, I've been going to Patriot meetings for many, many years.
And do you vet the information pretty closely?
Yeah, the things could have shifted a little bit as far as the ones owning it. In Europe, it was the Max Warburg in Amsterdam in Germany, the Lazard family in Paris, France, and Moses Israel Sif in Rome, Italy. In this country, it was Rockefeller, Goldman Sachs, Kuhn & Loeb, and Lehman Brothers. Some of that could have shifted. As a matter of fact, I've heard, I don't know if that's true or not, that David Rockefeller is not with us anymore, but his group would still be carrying on. I'm not sure a positive of that. I just heard that.
All right. Well, you know what? Get the word out. Get yourself a website up there, and at least put it up there to where if somebody starts looking for this sort of information,
mm-hmm.
keeping in mind that every keystroke on your computer is recorded somewhere. And so what? You know? I mean, the FEMA camps can't be that big, can they?
By the way, tell George Knapp, if you can, the reason the UFOs don't land on the White House lawn is because there's no sign of intelligent life there.
Oh, okay, I get it. I'll make sure Knapp knows that, okay? Thanks for the call. I appreciate you, Bruce. Hey, Roger in Toronto, are you there?
Roger in Toronto sure is here.
Excellent, man. What's going on with you?
Man, first of all, I got to tell you, my hat is off to you. You in no way, shape, or form are watered down. You address things the way they were meant to be addressed. And I got to tell you, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for taking my call. What I really wanted to talk about was something that I've been doing a lot of research about myself lately. And it's often referred to, I guess, by the most public as the Illuminati.
Yep.
And there's a lot of pieces that people have to the puzzle, and I've been putting pieces of this puzzle together myself, and I have an idea where it all stems from, and I hope that I can perhaps open up a few avenues for some of our other coast-to-coast listeners to take into consideration, because this is some really heavy stuff. Where I wanted to start it off is... anybody who's ever read any books about Freemasonry will know that the majority focus is based on King Solomon and the building of his temple, and a lot of that building of his temple, if you research, there's a document, it's called the Testament of Solomon, and what it does is it shows how it basically details how he summoned the demons. In Christianity, they refer to them as the demons. Muslims refer to them as jinns, and it's documented that he had these demons or jinns or whatever you want to call them help him in the building of this temple. And when he had these guys working for him, what happened was, those demons started teaching people magic, pagan magic, for the idol worshiping, the ones that have the worshiping of the sun and the moon and those types of things. And when King Solomon came to find, he found out that these people were practicing the magic that was being taught by him. What he did was he confiscated all of the magic manuals and the books. He put an end to the tarot cards. He put it all in chests and buried it underneath. And in when they were building the temple, he buried them all underneath the grounds of the temple. Well, when he died during the completion of the temple, what happened was the demons were no longer bound by him. And one of the first things that they did was they accused him of being a sorcerer. Now, in the Bible and in the Quran, and it makes mention that Solomon had special abilities like he had the ability to talk to different animals and stuff like ants and things like that. As well, he had the ability to bind these demons. Now, when he died, these devils, and that's exactly what they were, the demons, they told people that Solomon was a sorcerer, and they started to they said, if you want proof that he's a sorcerer, go inside his temple and look. And they showed these people where to dig, and they dug out back out of the mat. They found those magic manuals again that he had confiscated when he was the prophet of his time. And what happened was, it was the rabbis of those days that took that knowledge from those magic manuals, and they wrote their book called the Talmud. And that's where they got the Kabbalah from. The Kabbalah is 100% witchcraft, and it is. And from that point, it's what happened was, if you read any books on Freemasonry, it'll tell you that they're in search of the secrets that were lost. And they talk about their grandmaster Hiram Abiff, and he was struck and killed with some fatal blow. And this is the thing. He was punished, but I believe he was struck. That fatal blow that struck him was because when they were practicing the magic, the prophet Solomon, King Solomon, said that anybody who's caught is going to suffer. He was going to actually break their necks. So when these people put together their Kabbalah after Solomon's time, and it's from that point on has evolved. Now, if you look at all of the Masonic, if you go to any Masonic online stores, for example, let's take into consideration the Pharaoh from the time of Moses. He was the same guy who called himself a god because of the level of sorcery that he had mastered.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me pull the cord. Tell me, because we have to take a break or I'm going to get in trouble here.
Okay, Roger.
Just tell me, where can you go? What would be the one single source to read if somebody wanted to follow up on these things you're talking about?
It was a bunch of pieces of the puzzle that I put together.
Okay, I got you. Well, listen, this is good. This is food for thought, and some people can get into it. That's very interesting. We're talking about antiquity. I hate to cut you off, pal, but we got to run. Yeah, we're going to take some more calls, but between now and the top of the next hour. So let's do our break and get back to you. I'm John B. Wells, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Thank you. Yes, I'll tell you what I like to do. I like to let people talk, and because they got some good stuff to say. I'm sorry, they have some good stuff to say. Let's observe the Queen's English, even though, well, we'll go into that another time. I'll tell you what, how about a first-time caller? It's actually Martha from Martha's Vineyard, if she's still there.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Hi. I'm just feeling so, as I do every time I hear the show, and now it's become a nightly affair. So, of course, luckily I don't have a day job. But I want to say first I want to express my gratitude, first of all, to Art Bell, to George, to you. I don't know the other guys. But to be able to come to this show and listen to the truth, think about the truth, talk about the truth will set us free. I know this. I know that this is the time of the awakening. And this is such an important show. It's not only a lifeline, it's a lightline. And so I just send the biggest hug and kisses out to George and to you and to all of you people who are doing this and making this possible. You know, I grew up in a supremely dysfunctional alcoholic family. And my childhood was full of all kinds of terrible things that made my life very difficult, early trauma. And so I've spent my whole life, you know, trying to seek the truth, trying to heal. And all the time, you know, I was saying early on, you know, there's a pink elephant in the living room. It's a classic example. And, of course, I was the only one who saw it. On this show, we're all seeing it. We're all seeing it. It reminds me of this giant family, because we're all here together in this forum, and we're all saying, hey, you see it too? You see it too? You see it? We all see it. And it's like I'm not alone anymore. And I mean, of course, I've had a lot of support over the years to heal from what I needed to heal from. But now it's just such an important time that we all are able to speak freely. And it's about freedom. It's about truth. It's about love, about being together and saying, hey, we're going to get through this together. And this show touches my heart so much, and I just really needed to say that.
Well, I'll tell you, you just touched mine, because it's true. This is the only, you know, I'm not sure I should let this cat out of the bag at all. It might take away my viability. but I'll tell
Go
you,
ahead.
this is really
and
the only.
I love your name, John, because you have Be Well, your name.
Yeah, that's how I sign my emails, Be Well.
Awesome.
But you know what? This is really the only show that I'm interested in, because this is the only show that that I can imagine being interested in being a guest host on.
Mm-hmm.
But simply because I don't think this is politically correct or scientifically correct or anything else. We question everything, and I think that's what we're supposed to do. And you know, your call is so eloquent and so excellent that I think that's the one that we're going to leave it with. We'll take one more break, and thank you very much. Take care up there, and we'll get back to more of your calls when we come back. I'm John B. Wells, and this is Coast to Coast AM. I thought that might be an appropriate track, given the subject matter tonight. It's from an outfit called Thievery Corporation. Get it? I'll tell you what, the ladies tonight are so articulate, I want to speak to another one. The wild card line, that would be Tara in Baton Rouge, Red Stick, Louisiana. Are you there? Oh, she's gone. I just hate that. Well, I can't say that I blame her. You know, you got to give it up at some point if you've been on hold for 30 minutes, right? How about West of the Rockies, David in Alamogordo?
John, how are you?
Oh, just too good for my own good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing really well. John, I'm blind. I want to give you a perspective of maybe some Americans that are sitting in their living room or in their bedroom. Listen, I think America has a solution. So bear with me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're lifesavers. If you look at somebody out there drowning, what do you do? you run out and you try and help. Right now, we're all drowning. Therefore, all of us can't be lifesavers, but we can all try to be lifesavers. Now, I guess what I'm really trying to say is I live in a world, a dark world, and you illuminate that. And I'm glad you're on tonight because your voice is very calming and it's very merciful, if I can say that. But America, we have a solution. It starts right in our towns and our cities. Get to know your neighbors. Yes, there's people who don't know anything about what's going on and don't even care. But the first thing we can do is go to our town managers and go to our police officers and ask them to please look at the oath they took to the Constitution and remind them. We go to our county sheriffs and we ask them to keep the feds out of our business and tell them it's okay because we're lifesavers and we're going to take care of one another and we have to stick together. Then we go to our county supervisors and representatives and we remind them that we elected them. And if we can catch them, we'll find our district attorneys if we possibly can, or we become pro se litigants and we begin taking these people to court and suing them and or creating coalitions, legal coalitions of pro se litigants that actually go after these people who are robbing the richness of our country. And then, of course, we know we go to the state level, and what can we possibly do? I believe the lieutenant governors rule every state, and that's just the way it is. The Act of 1871 took us directly out of the republic of each state to the republic of each state, right to a corporation. If you don't know that, you need to study the Act of 1871. If you know about the word de jure, it's the strongest word there is in the Constitution, and it trumps de facto, which is a corporation in which we live in. I'm blind. I have no friends. When I'm in my head by myself, I have to call for somebody, and I have to call and rely upon strangers, and I make them my friends. Make your strangers, everybody you come into contact with, give them a smile. Find a kind word. Begin to network. We can do. And then we can address Washington, which, of course, is actually owned not by us. It's owned by a corporation. And by the way, pro se litigant, the reason I say that, John, is because all of our attorneys, when they pass the bar, in quotations, the bar means British Allegiance Registry. They are, what are they called? They're called esquires. What does the 13th Amendment talk about? Not having titles, Duke, Lord, Earl, King. And so what are we doing with British law, which you were talking about, Admiralty? And by the way, if you're in a court with gold fringe, you can tell them, if I'm in a military court, please state that. And when they do, or maritime, you tell them I'd like to go to a civil court. And they, by law, they will have to default to that anyway. But the truth of the matter is all of us are lifesavers to each other. And please, if you have a higher power, begin to cry out because it's not going to be pretty. And we have a global monster component going on right now, and it's coming down upon us so fast that there's so many holes in the dam that if we don't start reaching out to one another one by one and telling them, is there anything we can do for each other? Go in your garage, manufacture something, and keep it and share it. It's your best talents. I raise worms. I make fertilizer. I toss around dirt. I grow food. Be something to your neighbor and let that neighbor be something to you. And when they come to kick your neighbor out of your house, all of you in the neighborhood get together and say, no, that's not right. Don't walk away. And, John, thank you for this time to share. Because there's a lot of my blind friends that don't know what to do next. And I told them, just love one another in. And you know what else? Pay it forward. It's time for love and mercy and grace and hope. And yes, people are scared and they want to run. And as far as aliens, well, you know what? Until we see them and they're walking through our neighborhoods, let's focus on what we can do. Because there's a movie called The Road. And somebody graphically explained it to me, and it broke my heart. But if we don't take care of each other, we're going to be at each other. So put down your grievances, put down your swords, pick up your pens, grab each other arm by arm, knock on your neighbor's door and be as kind as you possibly can and tell them, is there anything we can do for you? And grow. And an idea you can't kill. So spread that idea around. And God bless everyone. Thank you, John.
God bless you, David. I'll tell you, for a man who identified himself as blind, he sees a lot more clearly than those of us who are not visually impaired. And I'm not just being schmaltzy here. I mean it. And you got a lot of friends. And, hey, Dan, we can take a break now, can't we? Dan's in L.A. control. I'm on remote at the undisclosable location, don't you know? I'm not about to, you know, I think I'll just, why don't we just let everybody who heard David's message just ponder that for a minute. We got to do a little break, and then we'll finish up with your call. So anybody who's on hold, just stay put. I'll get to you, and we'll roll quickly, because you paid your dues with your time, so I'd like to get you on the air. I'm John Wells. This is Coast to Coast AM. Wells in with you tonight, and I'll tell you, one of the things that I love about this program is I don't hear a lot of negativity. I really don't. I hear hope, and I hear interest and bright, sensitive feeling people that have backbone, and it's a beautiful thing. So I want to hear from some more of you, and I know everybody else out there does. This is very nice to be able to just say what you feel, say whatever it is, you know, say whatever it is. There's no reason to hold back here. This is not the program where we hold back very much, is it? Wildcard line, Drew in Lakewood, California. Are you there, Drew?
Yes. Hello, John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Not to sound too negative, but I, in regards to the earlier guest about the debt crisis, a few years ago, I read an article written by a Russian economist, and basically what he stated was that when we're supposed to pay our debts up, we won't be able to pay our debts, obviously, and basically we would pay it in territories, and basically China would get all the Western states, and Canada would get all the northern states, and Mexico would get all the southern states, and the European nations would get the eastern states. And it was just an interesting thing that I read. And like I said, just a few years ago that I read this article, and just thought that was very interesting.
Well, it is interesting. My personal feeling is that there's absolutely not enough. I mean, you know, there may be some economists and students of finance that are way ahead of me on this one, but I do not believe that there is enough cash to cover these debts. And I think the only way, you know, I keep looking at this note that I made earlier when we were talking to Dr. Robert Manning, about Mexico. Yes. And what happened to them. I don't see any way out of it. I don't see any other way. If these debts are literally created with the stroke of a pen, it seems to me, I mean, it's simplistic, but it seems to me they can be uncreated with another stroke of a pen and just hit the reset button and start over. But then again, it may be impossible. I mean, it would certainly require some global cooperation. And of course, you know, it goes back to that silly little saying that it's the golden rule. The one with the most gold makes the rules. So I don't know. When you combine all of these elements together, you know, some people say we're convinced it's global depopulation. Others say it's global enslavement. Well, okay, the only thing that I can offer to the people who would perpetrate such a thing would be good luck with that, because we are legion also. Thanks for calling in, Drew. Is Alan in Houston there?
John.
East of the Rockies.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Yes, 3:48 in Houston, and I echo your comments about David and Alamogordo. And I'm not an expert on the economy like Dr. Manning, but I have a couple ideas I'd like to share with you.
Please do.
Being as it seems fairly evident that the multinational corporations are more powerful than a lot of our national governments and can, with their money, bribe or whatever pressure wages in these other countries to be kept low. And we're getting all our jobs outsourced overseas, et cetera, has been discussed quite a bit. One of my ideas is to try to think outside the box. You know, as a member of the Harris County Green Party, I try to do that. But if what power does the United States still have over these corporations? And that is, we are the largest consuming society or nation that the corporations are selling to. So the only leverage we would have against them, it would seem, is to, through our government, to declare that any corporations doing business in this country, either storing or transporting their merchandise or selling it here or anything else, we would require that they have employees or any of their subsidiaries that they subcontract to manufacture for them would have to pay the employees in these overseas countries at least half of what a comparable salary for doing the same work would be in this country. Otherwise, they could not sell their products in this country or transport them through it or anything else. So that's one idea I have. But this would require, of course, some laws to be passed by our legislatures, and that's been pretty much corrupted by the declaration of the Supreme Court. It gives the corporation so much monetary power in our elections. So I would say the second point that among those who are calling for constitutional amendments, Harry Braun, who is a one of the candidates for president in the Democratic primaries to come, he has on his website a number of proposed constitutional amendments, and so I invite the listeners to look at those at braun2012.us. That's braun2012.us.
Okay.
He advocates a solar hydrogen economy, which would get us off oil, and therefore not the money would not be going overseas. We wouldn't need to fight the wars for the resources overseas. And we could be independent, developing hydrogen out of easily renewable, cheap electricity using ocean currents and wind and solar to generate the electricity.
Well, I'm glad you gave out his website, and maybe some people look into it. As I said earlier, it makes no difference to me what the party label is. Just because somebody's a Democrat doesn't mean that they're not trustworthy or that they're not a good person. Or a good politician, for that matter. But if you look up the word politics in the Oxford Universal Dictionary, it's not a very nice word. I was stunned at how much ink and space the definition of the word politics took up. I recommend that everybody look it up. And in fact, and don't think I'm talking down to you, because I'm not. I had to do it myself. I mean, I had to be taught. Get a dictionary. I mean, a good one, Oxford Universal Dictionary. And if you can, get an older one where terms like bling bling are not entered in there, because that is just, that's just colloquial language, and it's not proper English. You're not going to see the Latin or the Greek root in that particular volume. Okay, a couple more to go. Mike in Hudson, New York. Are you still there on the wild card line? If you are, come on
yes,
in.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Mike. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, man. What you got on your mind?
I have on my mind, I've written a book on 2033 and how that will be the end.
Current 2033?
2033, right. What I claim is that right now we're in 1978, okay?
Okay.
And I have a lot of proof of this. The real 1978 is here now, okay? Our numbering system of the years, it's known by everyone who studied it, is not correct, okay? The guy who did it messed it up, okay? For 1,500 years, we've gone by this system. So, in other words, 2011 is not 2011. There's no reason to call it that. It is totally arbitrary.
Well, what year is it, actually?
It is actually 1978. okay, and New Year's is in the spring, which makes a lot more sense. I'm going by what the Bible teaches. Okay, this is in Zechariah 9:9, and it's also found by combining Daniel 9:25 and Nehemiah 2:1-9.
Okay, and so you've researched this. This is
I've
the straight
researched
stuff.
It and even wrote a book on it, 2033, When the Creator Returns. There is a lot of evidence of this. In other words, when all the Christians thought that he was coming back in the year 2000, I believe they were right, but they didn't know what year we were in. Okay,
so we're 22 years off?
That's right.
That's a long haul, pal. I mean, we could do quite a bit of suffering until that day gets here.
I understand that, but things have fallen into place absolutely perfectly. In other words, the Jews are back in Israel. The one world government is at hand.
I get you. All right, say the name of your book one more time. Go ahead and put it out there one more time for anybody who might want to research this.
2033, When the Creator Returns. Zechariah 9:9 says, your Creator comes to you, your Messiah comes to you, humbly riding on a donkey's colt. That was the coming of the Messiah, not his birth. His birth only got him here so that he would be in the place where he could enter Jerusalem that day. Okay.
Excellent, Mike. Excellent call. Listen, we're so short on time, bro. I've got to cut you loose. But thank you very much for your call. And anybody that's interested, look at his book. It's a book, and they're difficult to write. I'm trying to write a couple of myself. And believe me, anybody who's written a book actually managed to do it, that's great. You know what? If you can make it quick, wildcard line, Corey in Sacramento. Are you there still?
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man, but make it quick. Otherwise, the computer's going to chop us off, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Okay, well, real quick, the Bible says no, so that doesn't fly. Rebuke my buddy there. But I wanted to talk real briefly about...
Bro, I'm so sorry to do this to you after waiting all that time, but I'm hearing the music. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Art Bell and George Knapp and Punnett, and especially the Princess Lisa Lyon for having me on tonight. It's been a real pleasure to sit in with you. And since it may turn out to be only 1978 instead of 2011, it appears we have more work to do. So let's do what some of our previous callers said. Reach out. Touch someone. Touch them in the right way. Understand that we're only here for a little while. No temporary fixes. Permanent fixes as best we can. Live your life as if you are preparing an inheritance for your great-grandchildren. Everything else will take care of itself. I remain your servant, John B. Wells. Join me again sometime for another edition of Coast to Coast AM. In the meantime, be well.